Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 22. Raju Vacha,
Raju Vacha,
Hita,
Hita,
Sandharite,
Sandharite,
Brahman, Dharana,
Dharana,
Yatra,
Yatra,
Samatha,
Samatha,
Yadrushi,
Yadrushi,
Va,
Va,
Harit,
Harit,
Ashu, Purushasya,
Purushasya,
Manaha,
Manaha,
Malam,
Malam,
Raju Vacha,
Raju Vacha,
Tasandhayate Brahman,
Tasandhayate Brahman,
Dharana Yatra Samatha,
Dharana Yatra Samatha,
Yadrushi
Vaharid Ashu,
Purushasya Manomalam, Raja Vacha,
Raja Vacha,
Itasandharyate Brahman,
Itasandharyate Brahman,
Dharana Yatra
Samatha, Dharana Yatra Samatha,
Yadrushi Vaharid
Ashu,
Purushasya Manomalam,
Purushasya Manomalam,
Raja Vacha,
Raja Vacha,
Tasandharyate
Brahman,
Tasandharyate Brahman, Dharana Yatra
Samatha, Dharana Yatra Samatha,
Yadrushi Vaharid Ashu,
Yadrushi Vaharid Ashu,
Purushasya Manomalam,
Purushasya Manomalam,
Raja Vacha,
Raja Vacha.
The fortunate king said,
Fortunate king said,
Ita, as it is,
as it is,
Sandharyate,
Sandharyate,
the conception is made,
the conception is made,
Brahman,
Brahman,
O Brahmana,
O Brahmana,
Dharana,
Dharana,
conception,
conception,
Yatra,
Yatra,
where and how,
where and how,
Samatha,
Samatha,
in a summary,
in a summary,
Yadrushi,
Yadrushi,
the way by which,
the way by which,
Va,
Va,
or, Haret, extricated,
extricated,
Ashu,
Ashu,
without delay,
without delay,
Purushasya,
Purushasya,
of a person,
of a person,
Manaha,
Manaha,
of the mind,
of the mind,
Malam,
Malam,
dirty things,
dirty things.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The fortunate King Parikshit, inquiring further, said, O Brahmana, please describe in full detail how and where the mind has to be applied and how the conception can be fixed so that the dirty things in the person's mind can be removed. Translation responsively. The fortunate King Parikshit, inquiring further, said,
O Brahmana,
please describe in full detail
how
and where the mind has to be applied,
and how the conception can be fixed,
so that the dirty things
in a person's mind
can be removed. Purport. The dirty things in the heart of a conditioned soul are the root cause of all troubles for him. A conditioned soul is surrounded by the manifold miseries of material existence, but on account of his gross ignorance, he is unable to remove the troubles due to dirty things in the heart, accumulated during the long prison life in the material world. He is actually meant to serve the will of the Supreme Lord, but on account of the dirty things in the heart, he likes to serve his concocted desires. These desires, instead of giving any peace of mind, create new problems and thus bind him to the cycle of repeated birth and death. These dirty things of fruitive work and empiric philosophy can be removed only by association with the Supreme Lord. The Lord, being omnipotent, can offer his association by his inconceivable potencies. Thus, persons who are unable to pin their faith on the personal feature of the Absolute are given a chance to associate with his Virat Rupa, or the cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord. The cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord is a feature of his unlimited potencies. Since the potent and the potencies are identical, even the conception of his impersonal cosmic feature helps the conditioned soul to associate with the Lord indirectly, and thus gradually rise to the stage of personal contact. Maharaj Pariksit was already directly connected with the personal feature of the Lord Sri Krishna, and as such he had no need to inquire from Shukadeva Goswami about where and how to apply the mind in the impersonal Virat Rupa of the Lord. But he inquired after a detailed description of the matter for the benefit of others, who are unable to conceive of the transcendental personal feature of the Lord as the form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. The non-devotee class of men cannot think of the personal feature of the Lord. Because of their poor fund of knowledge, the personal form of the Lord, like Rama or Krishna, is completely revolting to them. They have a poor estimation of the potency of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 11, it is explained by the Lord himself that people with a poor fund of knowledge deride the Supreme Personality of the Lord, taking him to be a common man. Such men are ignorant of the inconceivable potency of the Lord. By the inconceivable potency of the Lord, he can move in human society or any other society of living beings and yet remain the same omnipotent Lord, without deviating in the slightest from his transcendental position. So, for the benefit of men who are unable to accept the Lord in his personal, eternal form, Maharaj Pariksit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami how to fix the mind on him in the beginning, and the Goswami replied in detail as follows. Om Gyan Vinyam Tasya Gyan Tana Shalakya Chakshun Yutamyena Tasmaya Shri Guru Vain Maha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vantakalpatruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Maha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, in today's verse, Srimad Bhagavatam starts with Raja Vacha, who you can remember the translation for Raja Vacha. So Prabhupada writes, the fortunate king said a couple of weeks ago this same translation came up in Anirudha Prabhu's class, that the fortunate king, and Anirudha Prabhu was describing that Pariksit Maharaj is very fortunate because he was born in a devotee family and now he has the darshan of a topmost liberated personality, Shukadeva Goswami. Previously, Pariksit Maharaj said, O powerful Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow. And in that purport, Prabhupada described that a saint like Shukadeva Goswami would hardly stay at the house of a householder for more than 5 minutes in the morning. So, that was the custom of the saintly persons that they're constantly travelling and preaching. So they'd hardly stay in one place for 5 minutes. They just take some subsistence from the householders and milk and keep going and maybe give some instruction. But now Shukadeva Goswami is before Pariksit Maharaj, and he's going to stay with Maharaj Pariksit for 7 days, which is a lot longer than 5 minutes. So in that way, Pariksit Maharaj is very fortunate. And also from this word, Rajavacha. Because we generally just say the king said, but Prabhupada didn't write just the king said. As I said, we had that other word, the fortunate king. So this is a feature of Prabhupada's translations and his commentaries in all of his books, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, all of his literatures that he's translated. They're all not just literal translations, but they have an infusion of devotional mood in them. So the translation he's giving are not only on the surface narration of, this happened, it's kind of black and white. The king said this to Shukadeva Goswami. But Prabhupada also, with his devotional mood, Prabhupada allows, because he has a devotional mood, that allows Prabhupada and devotees to go deeper into the pastimes and see the textures and the behind the scenes exchange that's going on. But they still keep the accuracy of what's written in the Sanskrit. So one example of that is in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says to Arjuna in verse 25, just behold, Partha, all the Kurus assembled here. So Arjuna had asked Krishna to draw the chariot in the middle of the battlefield, and so he did. Krishna acted as the chariot driver and he brought the chariot there and said, just behold, Partha, all the Kurus assembled here. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, so what did Krishna mean when he told Arjuna to behold the Kurus? If we ask any of us, what did Krishna mean when he told Arjuna to behold the Kurus? We can't say. We can't understand Krishna. But Prabhupada has access to these kind of dealings with the Lord and his devotees, because Prabhupada and few devotees have a very intimate connection with Krishna as his confidential servants. So, and in the purport, Prabhupada went further to explain that Krishna thus predicted the mind of Arjuna in friendly joking. So this small bit of information is given to us by the Acharyas, and therefore to understand the Shastras, Bhagavatam and everything, we have to follow the Acharyas to get their full meaning, because otherwise we just read it and it will be kind of on the surface kind of understanding that we get without the understanding of the Acharyas. So then in this verse, it is the second inquiry from Shukadeva Goswami from the start of this chapter. We're in verse 22 now, but the start of the chapter, it's all been Shukadeva Goswami replying to Parikshit Maharaj's first inquiry. So what was Parikshit Maharaj's first inquiry?
What is the duty of a man who is about to die?
In his first inquiry, Parikshit Maharaj begged his spiritual master, Shukadev, to show the way of perfection for all persons, and especially for one who is about to die. And the inquiry was over two verses. It also asked him to explain what a man should hear, chant, remember and worship, and also what he should not do. So in that first inquiry of Parikshit Maharaj, we see the compassion of the pure devotees, that he really wants to help people become Krishna conscious. And he's very anxious to receive instruction, receive an instruction from Shukadev that will benefit not only him but all conditioned souls. And of course the devotees want to help every living entity, not only humans, but because our dormant love for God can only be awakened in the human form of life, then Parikshit Maharaj is just inquiring how to help living entities who are in this human form of life, how they can, what they should do. So from that we can understand that Krishna is unlimitedly merciful, and Lord Chaitanya is known as Mahavidanaya, the most munificent incarnation. But ourselves, if we want to help people in their Krishna consciousness, our potency is more limited. So we have to direct our energies intelligently, with discrimination, in our preaching, so that most benefit is given to persons interested in Krishna consciousness. So we meet many people, in our activities, and devotees are friendly to everyone, but we're most interested to help people that show some receptivity to spiritual knowledge. And therefore we can we can spend a lot of time with just one person who's very inquisitive, and that's not a waste of time, because that one person is very inquisitive to know, whereas other people who are just trying to, maybe through prasad distribution or harinam, we just approach them in a broader way, just trying to connect them to Krishna. So this second inquiry from Parikshit Maharaj is also has this mood of compassion, because Shukadev Goswami's reply to his first inquiry was given previously in verse 11. So Shukadev Goswami said, "O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all." So there's that verse, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalonya steva na steva na steva ktir anita. Chanting of the holy name is the only way to make advancement in Kali Yuga. But the answer's already been given, what we should do in this age to attain success in spiritual life. So then we can wonder, why is Parikshit Maharaj asking this question? How and where the mind has to be applied. He says, Dharani Yatra Samata. Describe in full detail how and where the mind has to be applied. So we could say, well, that's already been answered, why is he asking this again? So and Prabhupada gives the answer in the purport that it's for the benefit of others who can't immediately approach the personal form of Krishna and the holy name. And we also see this in Bhagavad Gita. There's an example in chapter 4, that verse 4, Arjuna says, he inquires from Krishna, How am I to understand that Sangha or Jivaswan is senior by virtue? How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? So in that purport, Prabhupada explains that Arjuna is not inquiring for himself, but for those who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna is putting this question before the Lord is simply an attempt by the devotee to defy the atheistic attitude of persons who consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being subject to the modes of material nature. So this is right throughout the Bhagavad Gita and all the scriptures, that the devotees, out of their compassion, they're inquiring for our sake, for the sake of others. Parikshit Maharaj is thinking of the people who are following the path of impersonal spiritual realization, and he wants them to also become Krishna conscious and approach the personal form of Krishna. So this is a characteristic of the second class devotee. I mean, Parikshit Maharaj is obviously the first class devotee, but for us who are aspiring to become second class devotees, the four items or characteristics of the second class devotee are that they worship the Lord, they befriend the devotees, they avoid the envious people, and they're merciful to the ignorant people. So today's society is very materialistic, and it appears that people are very demoniac in their activities and their habits, unclean and just interested in sense gratification. But a devotee sees that, it's in a way it's not their fault. People are just following. They're being misled by unqualified leaders in society. So they're just, it's the tendency of people to follow. And when the society's leaders are just materialistic themselves, not interested in the welfare of people and only in it for themselves, then that is the mood that the general populace takes on. And they also become self-interested. But Prabhupada would say, so somehow or other we have to connect people to Krishna. And even though they, we advise everyone to chant Hare Krishna, but we see that's very difficult for most people, and just to take up Krishna consciousness, in a serious way is quite rare. It's like this one pastime that with Prabhupada that he gave a public lecture in London, and it was a regular thing, and someone asked the question once that, oh, if this is the absolute truth, then why is there only a couple of people in the room? Well, you also have like 2 dozen people in this room talking about Krishna. So it's more hopefully listening online. But Prabhupada said, well, when you're selling diamonds, then you won't get many buyers. But if you're selling just cut glass, then you'll have plenty of people line up. They want to be cheated. They don't want the real thing. And there's that cartoon that we ask everyone to please chant. And everyone says, no, you can't. But even though people are like that, the devotee doesn't just abandon them and say, oh, right, give up on them. They're too materialistic, they're too conditioned by material nature. that's not the mood of the devotee. We understand, devotee understands that Krishna consciousness is the only hope for the living entity who is struggling in material existence. So if they're not going to take to directly to Krishna consciousness, then the mood of the devotee is to think, then how can we, in what other way can we purify the conditioned soul, get them to be purified and come to this platform of surrendering to Krishna. And in this verse, Parikshit Maharaj has in mind the class of people who are impersonalists. So for different classes of people, there's a different prescription given. The way for all is to chant the names of the Lord, but in the initial phases, then we have to see where a person's at and try to apply the medicine of Krishna consciousness to their needs. It's not one size fits all. The medicine is there, but the dosage and the everything is different for different people. For the impersonalists, following verses we're going to hear about the Virat Rupa and how the impersonalists should meditate on the different limbs of the Virat Rupa. So that's their prescription. And for the gross materialists, maybe we do prasadam distribution and Harinam, they get purified in that way by taking prasadam, hearing the holy name. And for the yogis, they have their whole process of asana and pranayama. And eventually the goal of that is to so that they meditate on Krishna. And all of these practices, any yoga practice can only be successful if there's a little bit of bhakti yoga in there. This is whenever Bhanu Swami is here, he's always stressing on this point that bhakti yoga is what gives any spiritual endeavour its success. So a jnani yogi can't develop their knowledge without some mixture of bhakti yoga and a mystic yogi can't succeed in mystic yoga without some bhakti yoga by worshipping Vasudev. So to have this mood of compassion that Parikshit Maharaj is demonstrating, we're just trying to come to that level, and maybe we'll think that, I'm not qualified to preach. I don't have any compassion, and I don't have any devotion. Maybe that's true. But the point is just to try and please the spiritual master by acting in this way, by acting compassionately to people, connecting them to Krishna, and then and that's sufficient. And Krishna reciprocates with that endeavour to just try to develop these qualities, and then they actually engaging in preaching purifies us, and then all good qualities develop as we become purified. So to act compassionately for people, first of all we have to have some cleanliness in our heart first. Today, at least at this temple, we have Gundicha Marjanam. And Prabhupada mentions, or in the first half of the purport, that there's dirty things in the heart of the conditioned soul. He says this. about four times that dirty things in the heart. So we all know, we know all about it, dirty things in the heart, lust and anger and greed. You know, we have good realization of these things. To act with compassion, first we have to clear away some of these dirty things in our heart to be more effective in our reaching out to others. And Prabhupada says that the dirty things of fruitive work and empiric philosophy can be removed only by association with the Supreme Lord. So as we practice Krishna consciousness, then maybe in the beginning where we have a very high estimation of ourselves and due to material conditioning that the bodily conception causes us to be very proud, and but then as we practice Krishna consciousness and chant and become purified, then we start to see all of the unclean things in our heart. And we become more aware of that. But as we become aware of it, we also realize that, the spirit soul, how can we remove these things from our heart? And it's not possible. I think, as Prabhupada said, on account of his gross ignorance, the living entity is unable to remove the troubles due to dirty things in the heart, accumulated during the long prison life in the material world. So it's not possible for us to get rid of the anathas in our heart on our own. We have to associate with Krishna by chanting his holy names. So when we see unwanted things in the heart, then in our chanting in the morning or other times of the day is to, we're asking Krishna to please purify these things from my heart, remove them. And then, so the goal of that, when we become purified, sadhana bhakti, actually sadhana bhakti is not for us. It's in the sense that it's not just for our benefit. Sadhana bhakti is to purify us, and when we become purified, then our duty is to just be an instrument for Krishna and for our spiritual master. Generally, when we start out practicing Krishna consciousness, we're very concerned that we want to make advancement and progress in spiritual life, elevate our consciousness. So generally we're thinking about us. But then as we go on, we can try to see how developing this clean heart is just a way for us to become better able to serve others. Then it's good if in the beginning, if we do pay a lot of attention to having good sadhana, a nice steady routine of hearing and chanting, and looking after our bodily necessities as well. But then understanding that the goal of all this is not just so that we become great devotees, but so that we're in a better position to help others, and also give them the opportunity of becoming purified and becoming devotees. Then But if we're generally, if we're in the bodily concept of life, then we're hankering after things and we're lamenting. Both of these things, hankering and lamenting, they're just based on the body, that we want sense gratification for our for the body, or we're lamenting that our body or mind wasn't fulfilled, satisfied. So then we're thinking of ourself. But to think of others is have to be off the bodily concept. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, samasarveshu bhuteshu, that when you're free from someone who's free from hankering and lamenting, they're equal to all living entities, so they're ready to help anyone. They're kind of seeing the spiritual potential in everyone and wanting to, according to anyone's situation in material life, just to try to give them a little bit of Krishna consciousness. And then the next line of that verse in chapter 18 is Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. So by acting compassionately for others, then automatically you achieve pure love for Krishna. So by being interested in the welfare of others, then automatically, samasarveshu bhuteshu, then automatically you achieve bhakti for Krishna. Otherwise we might think, oh, we just have to think about ourselves and my advancement, and but that comes. Krishna can give that automatically if we're serving as an instrument for him. So this, also in this verse, this idea of impersonalism, previously, as I was describing, Shukadeva Goswami already gave the prescription for all people everywhere to chant the holy names, constant chanting of the holy name. And in a similar way, in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in verse 7, there's no truth superior to me. Mata Paratram Anya. So, there's no truth superior to me means that you only have to surrender to Krishna, and there's nowhere else that you need to turn to. But then the following verses, verses 8 to 11 of chapter 7, they're describing Krishna's features in the material world. So Krishna says, O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. So in a similar way to what we're seeing here, then for people that can't accept Krishna as, you know, the supreme truth, this, everything rests upon Krishna, then they can also approach Krishna in a gradual way. But he says he's the taste of water. So maybe you've heard that lecture of Prabhupada. He's describing this, or he mentions this verse, that he says he can make even a drunkard Krishna conscious if they just think of that when they're tasting this liquid. It's the taste of water also refers to any liquid. If the drunkard just thinks of that this taste is Krishna, then they'll become a devotee and chant Hare Krishna. And then the light of the sun and moon is also Krishna. So these are ways to see Krishna in the material world. They're Krishna's energy, not directly Krishna, but as Prabhupada says, since the potent and the potencies are identical, or the another way, the energetic and energies, they're identical. So thinking that the sun is coming from Krishna, that also purifies. And the syllable Om, as Bhakti Prabhu was mentioning, describing last week, that Om is also Krishna. When we say Om, you're immediately above the material world, you're immediately in the transcendental realm by chanting the syllable Om. And then, so there's those other verses, you know, 7 and 9 and 10 in chapter 7. I'm the original fragrance of the earth, and I'm the heat and fire. I'm the life of all that lives, and I'm the penance of all ascetics. O son of Prita, know that I'm the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men. I'm the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I'm sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles, O Lord of the Bharatas, O Arjuna. So people who won't immediately come to Krishna, they also get an opportunity to purify themselves by seeing the Supreme in all around the world. As Prabhupada describes in previous verses, this concept of pantheism, that God is in everything. Aniruddha Prabhu said we have to, you know, persons who are seeing like that, they have to be careful that they see, oh, God is everywhere, God is in everything, I am also God. So that's a pitfall of the concept of pantheism. But it does also purify people. This verse, Prikshit Maharaj is demonstrating his compassion that he, for the people who won't surrender to Krishna, how they can also make advancement. And for our own application in our spiritual life, then we also have to have this mood of compassion that for people who don't straight away take to chanting Hare Krishna, we have to just look for so many ways how can they be connected to Krishna in another way. How can they be connected to Krishna? And if we just if we engage in different preaching activities, then that the benefit can spread really wide. Like an example was at the farm yesterday, cooking, and so there was about maybe 30 people at the feast, and but then at the end there was some left over, so one of the guests, she comes like every time I think to the Sunday feast at the farm, and she got some takeaway for her sister, and she said, you know, her sister loves it and just loves the Hare Krishna food. So she made that, she's probably never been to the farm and maybe never been to the restaurant, but still, because she is in contact with someone who is in contact with the restaurants or the prasadam, then that person is also getting benefit by taking prasadam. So the preaching has such a ripple effect. It just spreads and spreads. And we're generally not able to see that in our limited perspective. But sometimes you meet on people on books, they say, oh yeah, I got a book from this person in Sydney, now I'm here. And you see how Krishna is just pushing everyone along to on their path of purification. They meet this devotee, and they're sent to this devotee and this restaurant, then the yoga center. So then it's our duty just to get into the preaching and not considering, you know, whether people are immediately going to become devotees, but just to give them some purification, and that's enough. Yeah. So I'll stop there, see if anyone wants to ask a question, make a comment.